Good morning. Today's scripture is from Luke 8, 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He did not live in a house, but in a tomb. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times I had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break those bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into his abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding. The demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down to steep banks into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herds saw what happened, they ran off and told it to the city and to the country. Then the people came out to see what had happened, and then they came to Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them, "Now the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed." Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes had asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with greater fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Praise the reading of our scriptures. Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When you were a child, did your parents ever call you by your full name when they were mad at you? Anytime I heard my mom yell, "Rebecca Lynn DePoe," I knew I was in trouble. By using my full name, my mom was telling me, "I see you. I told you not to play with my new lipstick, and here it is, broken. Worse, you told me you didn't do it, but I can see the lipstick stains on your teeth, young lady." When my mom called me by my full name, I knew that she saw the real me, the one who broke her lipstick and then lied about it. She called me by my full name to remind me that I was not behaving in a way that brought honor to the name she had given me. In our scripture passage for today, we have this interesting meditation on names and their importance. In fact, Jesus uses the full name of a man possessed by demons before he drives the demons out of him. Jesus asks the man, "What is your name?" The man replies, "Legion," because he was filled with many, or a legion, of demons. The man in our story for today is essentially out of control. He lives his life immersed in many influences. He doesn't know who he is anymore, with so many voices fighting for control in his head. Jesus, being Jesus, sees the man for who he really is, but heals him anyway. He gives this man's demons permission to leave him and to take up residence in a herd of pigs. Once the demons leave the man and enter the pigs, they convince the pigs to fling themselves off an abyss or a cliff. In healing this man, Jesus gives him a new identity. Instead of a man who is enslaved by a legion of influences, he now has one identity. He is a child of God. But you'll notice in our story, not everyone responds well to his healing. His healing scares the townspeople, particularly the men responsible for caring for these pigs. When I picture this story, I picture a group of men huddled in a semicircle together, and they start whispering amongst themselves. Here's this man sitting quietly who 20 minutes ago was raving like a lunatic. Also, what happened to our pigs? Pigs don't just fling themselves off of cliffs for no reason. And this man is telling us that this dude named Jesus healed him, that he somehow drove demons out of him and put them in our pigs. We don't need this kind of trouble in our town. It's time for Jesus to leave. I imagine the pig tenders ask Jesus to leave because it's easier to ask him to leave than it is to process what happened. If Jesus really did heal the demon-possessed man, then everything about this community is going to have to change. From who they worship, to how they treat people that are different from them, to how they go about their work. This kind of change, frankly, sounds like too much work. It's easier if we just politely and quietly ask Jesus to leave. What Jesus does next is what I think is the most interesting part of this story. He agrees to leave peacefully. You'll notice in Luke, in his parables, but particularly in his miracle stories, frequently people get freaked out by these miracles, and they either ask Jesus to leave or they try to run him out of town. And Jesus never gets angry with them. He always leaves when they ask him to. You'll notice in a couple chapters in Luke 10, Jesus will actually instruct his followers that when they enter a new town and people reject them, they are to leave, they are not to put up a fight. On his way out of town, though, as he's entering the boat, I picture, the man he heals asks if he can go with him. "No," Jesus says. "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." While Jesus clearly has power over the demons, he doesn't seem to have the same influence over the townspeople. The people are just as free to reject Jesus' healing as they are to accept it. Jesus knows that the coming of his gospel is going to bring change and upheaval, and not everyone is ready for it. So what Jesus does, which I think is brilliant, is he invites those who have experienced the healing love of God to tell others about it. The townspeople may not accept that a miracle has taken place here, but it's going to be hard for them to reject the difference they see with their own two eyes of how this demon-possessed man was behaving before and then how he behaved after he encountered Jesus. Our scripture passage for today is what scholars call miracle stories. And I think Luke sprinkles them throughout the gospel as a way for us to tell others about Jesus. These stories are a way for us to convince people who don't know Jesus that Jesus is something different, that Jesus is God. I don't know if any of you have had the conversation with somebody where somebody asks you, "Why are you a Christian?" I hope when they ask you this, you don't tell them, "Oh, because I believe Jesus is the Son of God." That's absolutely true. But for somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they have no idea what you're talking about. But thanks to these miracle stories, you can say something along the lines of, "I follow Jesus because he heals people." And not just people in general, but he heals people that most people won't touch. Folks who have leprosy, which is a painful skin condition. Folks who are struggling with demonic possession, and even women that are considered unordinary or fallen or who exist outside the bounds of society. This week, our text challenges us to reflect on who in our lives God is inviting us to share the love of Jesus with. Who are the people in our lives that other people won't touch? The ones that are maybe a little weird, a little annoying, or frankly, they're just too darn needy. For me, I sense that God is inviting me to talk with my CrossFit buddies about Jesus. Many of my CrossFit buddies were hurt by the church in some way or another. Growing up, they were too loud, or they had too many tattoos, or they had too many questions about Jesus to be welcomed in most churches. But I've noticed that even the most heavily tattooed CrossFitters go through what I call life transitions. So things like having babies, starting new jobs, or even caring for elderly parents. And all of these life transitions tend to evoke questions about who they are, about what they're doing here, and about whether or not there is something greater than them operating in their lives. I want to talk with my CrossFit friends about Jesus because I want my friends to know that which brings me peace, hope, and joy. The other thing I've noticed, though, is that sharing the love of Jesus with others is often more about your actions than your words. And in order for your actions to line up with your words, you have to do a little bit of self-reflection. So if I know, for example, that it drives one of my CrossFit buddies crazy when somebody shows up at the gym with mismatched socks, maybe I set my alarm for 5 minutes earlier and I dig out two socks that match instead of wearing one green and one blue one. Or maybe I volunteer to put somebody else's weights away on a day that we're doing heavy lifting without them asking or without my coach telling me to. Or maybe, and this one's probably going to be the hardest one for me, maybe I stop complaining about our workouts, particularly the ones that involve running. Because complaining is the easiest way to kill joy. Friends, I believe that all of us have at least one person in our life that we could share the love of Jesus with. Maybe you have golf buddies, or maybe you know one of your friend's kid's parent or something. Maybe you're a coworker, or maybe you're thinking of a family member that you only see twice a year. We all have that one person that God is inviting us to enter into a deeper relationship with. I invite you to start this process by sharing your story with them. Who is Jesus, and why do you love him? I invite you that these stories should be brief, somewhere in the 30-second to 2-minute range. You want to emphasize how your life is different now that you follow Jesus versus when maybe you didn't. From there, ask the person you're talking to how they make sense of the world around them. Maybe they don't believe in God. Maybe they're not convinced by this whole Jesus argument. But I would imagine that they would agree with you that the sun rises and sets every day, and that they had nothing to do with it. Start there. Friends, the good news of our scripture passage for today is that God continues to use our lives, our behaviors, even things as small as high fives at the gym, as opportunities to share the love of God with others. All God asks in return is for us to step out in faith and to follow God into the unknown. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.